Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Dr. Kathy Cook, and she has another new book. So this is called Parent Differently. And Kathy, I have to tell you, when we were putting together the materials for our children's home and school here, I was invited to use as a model what another ministry had. And they described their goal as wanting to give children from difficult situations a normal childhood. And I said, we can't have that. I don't want the kids to have a normal childhood. I want the kids who come to the ranch to have an extraordinary childhood. I want us to do things differently. And that's what this book is about. Don't settle for ordinary. Do it the right way. Parent differently. So welcome to the broadcast this evening. And thank you so much for joining us.
No, I'm so honored to be here. I love that perspective that your kids deserve a better than average for sure. And, you know, kids who come out of trauma, to think that they can have ordinary after that, it's probably not realistic either. So I do want our parents to step up and do it differently. And I want us to prioritize, you know, the training of character, biblical character. We tend to not do that. And I'm hoping the book will be really inspiring for people.
Well, I think you raise a number of very important points in this book that folks need to come to grips with. And one of them simply has to do with the fact that if you're a parent, and this should go without saying, but it clearly doesn't, you need to model what you're trying to instill in the kids. You can't give what you don't have. And so it's not enough to want your children to have biblical character. You need to have biblical character as a parent.
Exactly. And one of the things that I think we need to model really well is the effect that character has on us.
Yes.
So if, you know, if you go to work or you're on a committee or, you know, you're loving your mom well or whatever, and it goes well for you, tell your kids, you know, today I chose integrity. Today I chose to be honest, even though my line would have, you know, felt easier in the moment, but I know it was best because of this, this, and this. And then when you have a negative experience, you know, I forgot to turn in a report today and my supervisor had to stop by my office and I was embarrassed that I realized I thought it was, you know, due tomorrow and now I'm going to have to stay up late. And I had to, I'm afraid my supervisor is going to question my integrity, you know, in the next few days. Let kids know that your character matters and affects your relationships and your peace, your inner peace.
Amen. And this is not about virtue signaling. It's not trying to boast to your children or to others about, you know, what you do right. Because as you say, you need to share when you make mistakes too.
And it all glorifies God, right? Biblical character is about glorifying God and putting Jesus on display.
Exactly.
And that would include, you know, the where we disappointed him and how we talk about that and how, if it's appropriate, we pray and we ask God to forgive us for decisions that we made. That's part of biblical character.
Amen. And when we do that, we're not just trusting our kids, we're trusting God.
Yes. And that matters, right? That matters.
Absolutely.
On our own, there is no way that we can get this thing right, this thing called life. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so one of the things we can share then with the kids is not only these current victories and failures on our part, but how God is changing us. The fact that, you know, I used to struggle with this. Or when I was young, I made this mistake. So you can, you know, the reason I share that with you is no bragging here. I'm wanting you to know that you don't have to repeat the mistakes I did. You don't have to learn the hard way. And kids appreciate honesty.
Oh, yes. In fact, I absolutely believe that when we're vulnerable and transparent and authentic with our kids and clients and students who we serve, we increase our authority.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? If we look like we're perfect and we've never struggled with something, why would they admit that they struggle to us? That'd be pretty scary. And then if they are struggling, but they think we've never struggled to overcome an addiction, to overcome a temptation to lie, why again would they trust us with their story? So don't be afraid. Do it. Age appropriate, you know, age appropriate transparency, but absolutely.
Yeah. Amen. Well, tell us, you know, you've been working with not just kids, but you've been equipping parents and educators, counselors, people who work with kids.
Yeah.
And in those years, you've seen the importance of biblical character, which, as you state in the book, is more involved than we often think of Christ-like character.
Right.
Now, Christ is perfect, of course, but there, when we talk about Christ-like character, our perspective on that is usually narrow in terms of his sacrifice and so forth. Mm-hmm. Biblical character is a broader spectrum as you're teaching it. Share with us a little bit about that distinction.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm absolutely a fan of Christ-like character, of course, that we become like Jesus and put him on display. But it's biblical character because the Old Testament is so important. You know, you've got heroes in the Old Testament. You have Esther and Daniel and Moses and David and Caleb and so many that we can point our kids to about how their character allowed them to change culture, or the negative examples where they got in God's way, if you will. And then we've got so much in the New Testament. We have, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the one another's, the love definition from 1 Corinthians 13. Let's take that out of marriage and put that into parenting. And there's the one another's. There's, you know, the attributes and the names of God and the attributes and names of Christ. So wanted to broaden the perspective. It's God, it's about God's ways and God's will for us.
Amen. Which Jesus modeled perfectly.
Yes, yes.
But I think if you simply tell kids, well, we want to be like Jesus, they're not going to get a perspective on what that looks like day to day.
I agree. What they tell me is, well, I can't be like Jesus. Remember, he was the perfect one.
Yes.
Or sometimes if I talk about, you know, relying on God's strength and God's wisdom and God's passion, they'll say, yes, but Jesus didn't have to do that because Jesus was God. So there is a perspective here that I'm hoping to bring to a broader discussion. And I appreciate you bringing that up.
You bet. Now, you talk about the importance of obedience on the one hand, but you point out also that obedience doesn't guarantee a well-developed character, since obedient children may just be following rules. Mature character leads to obedience, and it's a richer obedience because it's more heart-centered than rule-based. Talk with us a little bit about that, because I certainly have seen that in our ministry here, where there are some kids, because of the things they've been through, they feel like they're survivors. And so they're going to conform as best they know how to any environment you put them in. And, you know, if we ran a crime syndicate here, they would be fast learners. And on the other hand, if they find out, oh, these people, I just recently interviewed someone on the broadcast who said, you know, she saw what a wonderful positive response this fellow student got when the fellow student professed faith in Christ. So she decided, me too. I want to give my life to Christ. She said, I had no idea. I did not know what it meant to yield my life to Christ, but everybody was very encouraging and positive and so forth. And it was another year or two before she realized, I'm going to hell.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know Jesus. I need to be saved. And she got saved and God really changed her life. Mm-hmm. But it is very important that we not settle, if you will, for just rules-based obedience. Keep aiming higher. Talk about that, please.
Absolutely. No, thanks for bringing this up as well, because, you know, rule-based kids are, it's better than non-rule. I mean, it's better that they follow the rules than they don't, but
yeah.
If you learn to follow rules, then you're always looking for rules. You're not looking for relationships.
Yes.
But we're about relationships, both here, you know, on earth, and then, of course, our relationship with our Heavenly Father and His Son and the Spirit. So it's got to be about relationships. If you have rule-based obedience, then kids have to have somebody watching them. So I'm going to be good today because the teacher is watching, or I'm going to be good today because mommy's aware. I'm going to try to win an award or avoid punishment. So now they're dependent upon us, and now they need to come to us, and we need to always be in their presence. But most parents will admit to me, no, I'm dreaming of the day when I don't have to be present, but but my kids will be obedient. And that requires a transformation of the heart.
Amen.
For, you know, for righteousness, for obedience, because it makes God look good. And we have to help kids believe that they're capable of that. So yeah, it's both ends, but I'm absolutely convinced that we start with character, we emphasize character, and we watch it show up. Here's another way that I would mention it. As an example, arguing. So many parents tell me, my kids argue all the time. So arguing looks like disobedience. And so you're like, stop arguing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That may not help. Maybe they're arguing because they can't submit. And so it's an authority character issue. Maybe they're arguing because they're inflexible. Flexibility is one of my top 48 qualities, where mm-hmm. kids don't always have to have their way. And they understand yes. that because grandma's sick, they're going to make a change of plans. They're not going to throw a fit. So are they arguing because, are they jealous? You just affirmed their sister. So they're jealous of the sister. So now they're arguing to make the sister look bad. There are always reasons they do what they do. And those are based in character. So when we talk about character, we teach character, we model character, we get the win-win of both a Christ-like, if you will, character-driven child and an obedient child. Yes.
Well, and you mentioned there that there are always reasons why they do what they do. You also point out in the book, and I quote, children often don't know why they do what they do. So you're absolutely yes. right. On the one hand, there's always a reason. On the other hand, they often don't know what that reason is. And part of the parent's role is helping them understand and begin to explore why they did what they did.
Yes, because it's not enough to just say, I'm a sinner. Like mm-hmm. some children that say, well, you know, Dr. Kathy, there's that sin nature, you know, and I'm like, well, let's rise above that. Okay. We're capable of that, you know, with God's strength and some teaching and all those kinds of things. So, how many of us have said to a kid, you know, why did you just do that? And the kid is like, I don't have a clue. So what we need to do is observe longer, listen intently and look for the pattern. Cause one of the things that I believe, be interested in what you think of this. I don't think kids are 24/7, 365 impatient. I don't think they're 24/7, 365 prideful. I think that things trigger a reaction. Something happens and it causes us to behave in a certain way. It's true for us as well. So we can observe for the pattern. Is it always that they argue during math? Are they scared of math because their daddy loves math? And so if they don't do well in math, dad gets even more upset.
Yeah.
So do they walk into a math experience fearful? And is that what causes them to be, you know, negative in their orientation? Again, is it that, you know, grandma maybe has a critical spirit and grandma's coming over to dinner and they're nervous when grandma's over because there's always something wrong, you know, with the way they're dressed or the way they're sitting or with their bedroom. And so they're nervous and their nervousness causes something. The kid may not know that, but if we observe and we look for a pattern and we even keep a written record, so we go back and go, whoa, this happened last time grandma was here.
Right.
You know, then maybe we can enter into that situation with a conversation and we help grandma change so that the child isn't fearful. And we help the child understand, you're not a bad kid. This is a natural response to, unfortunately, the expectations that grandma has for you.
Well, I do agree with that. And I think with that, we also need to recognize that our diagnosis of the cause of the pattern is a tentative diagnosis. In other words, this is what I'm thinking may be causing this. As opposed to, Johnny, I'll tell you why you're doing that. You're doing it because of this. That, you know, not only does that not have the credibility, but it may actually not be accurate. Mm-hmm. My oldest son has had over 40 surgeries. And so we've dealt with a lot of doctors over the years. I've had some surgeries myself. My wife has had some surgeries. We're not hypochondriacs. We're just good clients. So in any case, in dealing with that, I've seen, and also in dealing with parishioners who are facing medical problems, you get a diagnosis from a doctor and you get a different diagnosis from another doctor. And sometimes you need more data. It'll take more time. It'll take more testing. And so in parenting, realize that while you do want to look for those patterns and you do want to assess what may be causing this, that's a tentative diagnosis. And you're going to watch and see if that holds true. See if, as you said, see if we can help grandma to be a little sweeter and less critical and maybe help the kids as you watch that dynamic to say, you know, I wonder why grandma's having this problem. Please don't take it personally because I kind of remember she was that way when I was growing up. And so you know, if they understand it's not just about them.
Yes.
And you can help them walk through that. Then they do, as you said, begin to understand the reasons for their choices, but they don't feel, and you don't feel, like we got to solve this tonight.
I really appreciate that, because it is about problem solving, not mm-hmm. judging. Like when kids find out that we're on their side,
yes.
and we're walking with them through life, trying to help them mature, become more obedient, become more pleasant, have more internal peace, which is one of the goals of biblical character. So I'm in this space with you, not to judge you and not to shame you, not to make you feel horrible, but yeah. to try to figure out how I can walk well with you in this situation.
Amen. And sadly, within the Christian community, there are a lot of authority figures who are very shame-based
yes.
and oppositional, and their version of authority is I've got to do whatever it takes to show that I am superior, you are inferior, I am good, you are bad, and mm-hmm. I am here to show you how desperately you need grace, because even though I don't have any to show you,
yes.
you know,
yes.
God does.
Yeah.
God does. Take my word for it. God will forgive you, but only if you grovel. And that is a tragic thing. And it tends to multiply from generation to generation. And we've got a lot of folks in the Christian community conscientiously doing the wrong thing.
Well stated. I bet you could tell us stories on top of stories of what you've seen in your children there, the students there, and
yep.
what they've had to try to overcome. We're all imperfect, and we can walk together. In fact, I pray that families, the moms and dads who read the book, Parent Differently, will see themselves in it. I think they'll start yeah. meeting as moms, and I hope the inner child comes out and they realize, whoa, I need a bit more of this perspective. And then we walk with our kids and we decide as a family, let's work on gratitude, you know, this month, next month, let's work on the quality of joy. And then let's work on self-respect and how Dr. Kathy says that it'll change you. And I think we can all grow, and kids benefit from seeing that they're not the only ones that have been put in this box of, you know, needing something more.
Amen. Well, I have tried to train our staff over the years. And of course, we have a new group of mentors every year who come to the ranch, typically mm-hmm. right out of college. And they assist the house parents mm-hmm. in tutoring kids and helping with recreation and overseeing chores in the home and things like that. And that is a wonderful, we love our mentors.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I try year after year to teach the new ones as they come is you want these kids, don't let these kids put you in an oppositional position. Because if you're in a contest with the child, you've already lost.
Amen.
Because you're not supposed to be in a contest with them. You are supposed to be on their side. So when they mess up, instead of feeling like you've been attacked and they didn't listen to me and they didn't do what I said, if you can say to them, oh, I am so sorry. I had really hoped you were going to be able to do this. And now, you know, as we discussed beforehand, because you didn't do this, you're going to miss out on this. And I really hate that for you. Let's really try and see if we can do that better so that next time you get to participate in this, you get this reward, et cetera. I found we do not use corporal punishment here because these are not our kids legally. And many of them have been through horrible physical as well as emotional
yeah.
abuse. So corporal punishment is out, not because it's not biblical, but because it would not be biblical to do that to these kids.
Yeah, that's good.
So we don't use corporal punishment, but we do find that if they are facing a loss of reward, that has more of an impact on many of them than if you try and come in with some punitive measure where they're going to suffer this awful consequence. If instead they see that what happened was they were trying to help me reach this goal,
yeah.
and there's going to be this reward at the end of the achieving the goal, and I blew it, and they're disappointed. They're not saying, ha, caught you, you know,
yeah.
you messed up. It's, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I was really looking forward to doing that with you all.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, They want me to win. They want me to succeed. And that totally changes the dynamic. And that's vital for all parents. And you deal with that in the book because you talk about consequences.
Exactly. Logical and natural consequences. I want to say to you that that's so significant. That's so important. I'm so impressed because that is how the world works.
Yes.
Adults are, I'm not rewarded and punished. No, it's our own internal delight when something goes well for us, right? Because we've made wise decisions. So if we keep rewarding and punishing children, they think again that it's not about them. It's about whether we're nice or we're mean. No. It's all about you. And no, that's really, really significant. No, we have to let consequences do their work. You know, if you choose to not study, you don't earn a good grade. That's on you. The teacher wasn't bad or mean and the test wasn't too hard. You didn't study.
Right.
So effort, perseverance, diligence, teachability, humility, these are character qualities that we expect you to use.
But wouldn't it be better if the parent stepped in and did the assignment for the child so that they wouldn't have the bad grade?
I love that. No, never.
That no. If you try to insulate your child from the consequences of their own decisions, you are not loving your child well at all. You're wounding your child. You're stunting their growth. You're preventing their progress. That's not love. That's narcissism. That's saying basically, I need them to look good so that I look good. And that's sick.
And it's a dilemma in our culture. It's one of the reasons I wrote this book and the Resilient Kids book before this book.
Yes.
Because we have way too many parents rescuing their children prematurely because they want to look good.
Yes.
And parents, could I just say to parents, you're going to make some mistakes. Parenting is the most challenging thing you'll ever do. Mm-hmm. And short of the scripture and books like mine, you know, and other people, there aren't a lot of, you know, manuals out there for how to get it right. And kids are messy and they change and we change and life is hard. So, no, consequences are going to happen. And you stand up for yourself and you say to your peer group, you know, don't judge me based on my son's, you know, lack of effort or whatever. I've done the best with him and he's choosing this and I'm going to let him suffer the consequences for a while.
Now, we've talked about the fact we can't just lay everything on the sin nature. Mm-hmm. But I want to be real clear for our listeners. That's not because we don't believe that people have a sin nature. We do have a sin nature. And it is a factor in what we do. And we do have to come to the point of realizing, oh my goodness, I need a savior. Yeah. The only hope for any of us is the fact that Jesus came to save sinners. So it's not, hey, you're not a sinner. Don't feel badly about yourself. No, come to the cross and realize that God chose to love you despite the fact that we're all wretches.
Yeah.
But we're more than wretches. We are loved by God Almighty.
Yes. And I think one of the points that I love to make with people is that Satan cares most about our strengths. I don't believe that Satan cares about our weaknesses because our weaknesses don't threaten him. But as an example, I was a chatty Cathy as a child. I now speak for a living. I'm here on the radio because I speak. I'm an author of 7 books. I'm a public speaker. I get paid to talk and kids are like, oh my gosh, I want your job. Well, I'm able to do all these things because my mom and dad did not allow me to gossip or tease or name call or impressed with all that I knew, even though a word smart person is very good at those negative things. So the sin that I think we are most known for, if I can say it that way, is often connected to a strength we ought to be known for.
Amen.
We rise up and we help our kids identify their strengths and then we show them. This is Ephesians 2:10. You were gifted in advance to do these things that you would walk in them to make God look good and to develop your own contribution to the chaotic culture. So don't let Satan rob you of the gift that God's given you. So I think those become really good messages. And now kids are less likely to go, man, I'm a horrible person. And they go, man, I'm gifted, but this, I don't want this sin nature to win. So I'm going to, meditate on scripture. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to have more accountability with my mentor because I don't want to lead out with my sin.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
It does. I love you, sister. I appreciate what you do, and I hope you'll come see us when you come to Pigeon Forge.
All right. Well, God bless you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.